How y'all doing this morning?
Good, good. Did you get everything out that you needed to get out through worship? Were you focused on God? Were you lifting your voice? Were you singing and lifting your hands? You can lift your hands, even if your last church told you you couldn't. You can lift your hands in here. You can lift your voice in here. You can shout and dance in here. If you run, just make sure you go to the left and come on out. We don't want people running into each other, okay? But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Freedom. Freedom to do what you're called to do. Freedom to live the way that God wants you to live. Freedom to boast about the things that of what he's done for you. You have that freedom in him. Thank you, Jesus. You have that freedom. I was told to stay up here. My kids are trying to restrain me. See, I can't just stay up there. I got to move. I got to roam. How's that condition? How's your mother? She doing any better, ma'am? She's growing worse? Okay. Can you bring her here next week? Okay. Do. Don't try. Do. Okay? God never changes, if y'all know that. We got to stop setting limitations on God. And a lot of times we don't realize that in our lives, we can set limitations just by what comes out of this little member right here. We can set limitations on them. If we're going to be reading that Psalm 78, where they had limited God, and it's a few scriptures there. But God never changes. His covenant may have changed on how he deals with us, but God is the same as he has always been. He's a good God. He's a merciful and compassionate God. He is slow to anger and he's abounding in love. We know that God created the heavens and the earth and everything that we see, the clouds, the rains, the cosmos, the water, the mountains, he created them all. And yet people will still limit God because they don't think that he can solve or do the things in their life that he has already said that he can do. God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten your problem. He has not forgotten your situation. He has not forgotten you. He said he'll never leave you and never forsake you. And sometimes we will act that way. We will pretend or what have you and thinking that God is the way that he is. He used his servant Moses to rescue them from the slavery. And yet they wanted to go back to Egypt. They were eating basically the endings of the pigs. I don't know if y'all know anything about pigs. You eat everything from the rootin' to the tootin'. I mean, just the snout, the ears. Anybody ever had pig's feet? You never had pig's feet? Pickled pig's feet, not just regular. Chitlins, the intestines. You got to clean it out and it stinks. This is what they were eating every single day, and yet God was delivering them, was giving them manna from heaven every single day, but they would rather go back to Egypt because of all their griping and all their complaining. They were treated as slaves. God doesn't treat you as a slave. He treats you like you are a child of God. You have the best of the best. They didn't realize that at that time, their disobedience was the reason why they were not able to enter into the wilderness, why they were not able to enter into the land flowing with milk and honey. They gave God lip service, but their hearts were far from him. We have to be wiser than the Israelites. We have to learn from their mistakes. God has done so many extraordinary miracles in their sight. They received a miracle every day for 40 years, but it wasn't enough. Every day for 40 years, and it was not enough. They wanted what they wanted. They tested and tempted. They provoked the Holy One. I don't know how we can ever get to the place to where we want to tempt God and then provoke him and say, "You can't provide for us. You can't heal us. God doesn't heal today. If you heal, go ahead, heal us." You'll never receive what you don't believe. God can't take care of this situation. This mountain is way too big. But yet he says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed. The enemy loves nothing more than to keep your mouth shut or to keep you talking and speaking doubt and unbelief. Unbelief is a faith killer. Don't you dare speak it out. Don't you dare remind the enemy of what the accomplishments of what he's done. Don't you dare speak out and speak against the word of God. They griped, they complained, they lived in fear rather than in faith in God. Psalm 78 says, for he divided the sea and led them through, making the water stand up like walls. They crossed on dry ground. That's how forceful that his power was. In the daytime, he led them by a cloud, and at night, and all night by a pillar of fire. There used to be a minister that years ago, he had a ministry called Fire by Night. Some of y'all remember Blaine Bartell? Good man. He's a good guy. He works with FCF now. Good man. Still doing good things for the kingdom of God. Amen? Fire by night. God led them by a cloud by day and fire and a pillar of fire by night. That's more like, here's your sign, man. I got you. What more do you need? And we complain? You're created in his image. And we doubt? You are at the top of the full food chain. And yet you still worry. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the church. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the church. And then there's a problem for us. We end up having a problem. We end up not liking this. We end up not wanting what God wants for us. Verse 15, he says, he split open the rocks in the wilderness to give them water as from a gushing spring. The Israelites had the first case of short-term memory. They forgot what he had done. He brought water out of a rock, literally, as if it was a spring, just gushing out. All those miracles were short-lived. In verse 16, he says, he made streams pour from the rock, making the waters flow down like a river. Yet they kept on sinning against him, against the Most High in the desert. You would think that, how can a people rebel against a God Almighty? Well, God didn't cause them to rebel. It was their own free will. See, God isn't causing us to sin just to teach you a lesson. See, that's why I'm against all that. Well, God, we don't have that free will because we were predestined. And okay, predestination is in the Bible because God foreknew you, but he's given you free will. Your life is based upon your choices that you make. What's going on in your life, if you don't like it, is because of what we spoke it out. Or somebody planted it and that we haven't rooted out, that God hasn't rooted out yet in our lives. People can come and plant some jacked up stuff in your life. You ever see some nice grass in a neighborhood and stuff, and all of a sudden you start seeing some weeds here and there. That weeds could have just came from somewhere else. Could have came from the earth, because this earth was cursed after the fall of man. But here's the thing. You don't get all mad about it. Pluck it out. Get it from the roots. Sometimes God is going to uproot everything. God is getting ready to uproot everything that is in your life that he didn't plant. Think about that. So the things and the struggles that you're going through, God is going to uproot those things out of your life. He is going to cut some of those branches off so that you can bloom even better. Some people don't like the pruning of what God does, but I'm going to let you know, the pruning is good. Anybody prune trees? You're pruning trees, your bushes? You're getting off all the what? The dead branches. So that it could bloom more. He wants you to bloom more because you are blessed to be a blessing. You are not blessed to be a curse, to live a curse, and go around irritating everybody. There's a difference between agitation and irritation. Agitation is for the kingdom. You're stirring stuff up for the kingdom of God. Irritation is for yourself. You're just walking around like being a rash and whatever to everybody else. That's irritation. Who likes irritation? Go put some icy hot in your underwear. You're going to have all the irritation that you want. Agitation is for the kingdom of God. It will stir things up. Jesus, the religious leaders did not like Jesus because he agitated their demons. They didn't like it. When he came around people, have you come to torture us before our appointed time? Come on, man. Agitation is for the kingdom. Irritation is for yourself. The gospel is about getting yourself out of the way and doing what God has called you to do and living the life that God has called you to live. Stop living below. Come up here. He has come down on earth and raised us up and seated us where? In heavenly places. And sometimes we'll live far below what God wants us to. He's given us the freedom to love, to live, and to be obedient to him. And they chose disobedience. They chose comfort. They chose grumbling and complaining, which, by the way, doesn't get you very far with God. It might get you pretty far with people, but not with God. Verse 18, it says, they stubbornly tested God in their hearts, demanding the fruit, the foods they craved. They even spoke against God himself. God can't give us food in the wilderness. Like, God can't hear that. God hears it. He knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. He hears all of that. They even spoke against God. Yes, he can strike a rock so water gushes out, but he can't give his people bread and meat. He can't give his people bread and meat. They use the word can't with God. There are things that God can't do. He can't lie. God exalts his word even above his own name. He will not go against his word just to appease me or anyone else. He's going to stick to what his word says and what he has already spoken out. And they said, he can't provide. He can't give us bread. This is what we want, and he can't give it to us. Spoiled little brats. Ungrateful. And sometimes we can be this way. God, can he pay my bills? Can he do this? My God shall supply all my needs according to my riches, your riches, his riches and glory. Everything I need, God has supplied. Everything you need, God has supplied. And why are there so many people living below than what they're supposed to? Because they don't read the fine print. They don't understand their benefits. They don't understand. Read your insurance. You are covered for a lot of stuff. But they won't tell you because it might cost them a little more. You ever get insurance and the next thing you know, you get a claim and the next thing you know, they want to drop you because, well, we got to put out this money to you. But how dare we make a claim on something that we're paying month after month? Good gracious. Stop it. But I'm going to let you know, your insurance has been paid by the blood of Jesus. Everything you need in life has been paid by the blood of Jesus. As far as your spiritual health, all that has been paid by the blood of Jesus. We don't want to live far below. We're not bottom feeders. We're the cream of the crop. We are above, not beneath. We are the head and not the... We are blessed going in, and everything we set our hand to, sometimes it's okay to stir that up on the inside of you again. When you do a project and stuff like that, and you sit there and it looks like that thing is getting ready to fall over. No. This is what you say. Everything I set my hand to prospers. You may have a little trial and error, but everything that you set your hand to is going to prosper. You got to believe it. You got to start speaking that out, that everything I set my hand to prospers. When I shake people's hand, that the power of God flows through their body, through my body, through theirs. That any ailment that they have will be healed in the name of Jesus. When I share the gospel, you got to tell yourself, when I share the gospel, it will impact a lot of people's lives. It will change their life for the better. I keep looking up at this man over here. He looks like Ken Ham. I don't know why. Y'all know the Noah's Ark? I want to say Ken. What is your name, sir? Yes, sir. Jay Parsons. Okay. I won't remember that. That's fine. Yes, he can strike a rock so water gushes out, but he can't give his people bread and meat. Wanted a spam sandwich, bologna sandwich, fried bologna sandwich. When the Lord heard them, he was furious. The fire of his wrath burned against Jacob. Yes, his anger rose against Israel. Rightfully so. Whenever God's wrath was poured out in the old covenant, you got to understand, it was for a righteous thing. It wasn't just because he just wanted to do it, just because he can do it. And he can do it anytime he wants, but he will give you mercy. God was showing them mercy, and yet they didn't want it. For they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. Take notes. They didn't believe him, and they didn't trust him to care for them. Yet he brought them out of the hand of Egypt. They crossed on dry ground as water is just walls as they're crossing. And then when they got to the other side, when the Pharaoh came with his army and what have you, I said, they all were washed out. And yet he doesn't care for them. And we talk about our situation, Lord, what about me? God cares for you. That's why he tells you to cast your cares, for he what? Cares for you. But he commanded the skies to open. He opened the doors of heaven. I didn't know there were doors of heaven until I read the Bible. He opened up the doors of heaven. He rained down manna for them to eat. He gave them bread from heaven. He didn't have to do it. See, we're thinking if we gripe and complain just like them, we'll get what we want. You're not in faith. You're allowing your fear to conquer you. That's why you're crying out to him. If you're crying out, cry out for the souls of people. Cry out for their hearts to be changed. Cry out for God to move in their life. Cry out for people to be free of whatever is bothering them or what have you. But cry out for the right reasons, not just because it's you and it's what you want. He rained down manna from heaven. They ate the food of angels. God gave them all they can hold. God didn't disappoint, but yet they still weren't satisfied with what they ate. God had done this time and time, and you're still not satisfied with what he's freely given you. People will cry out for more power from God, but yet they're not even using the power that they have. That's crazy. More, God, we want more. But what are you doing with what I've given you in the first place? Because that's enough for you to conquer everything that you got going on in your life. God is not going to take your problem away, but his grace will be sufficient for you so that you will be able to speak. Y'all remember that time when Paul was saying that to God, to Jesus, praying, Lord, take this thorn away from me. It was a messenger given to him. It was a messenger of Satan, and people would interpret it as a messenger from God. It wasn't from God, it was from Satan. God was not trying to humble Paul with irritation and trying to keep him from exalting himself above measure because of the revelation that he had received. Who gave him the revelation in the first place? God. Why? Because Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that he prayed in more tongues than all of them. That's how he received that revelation, praying in tongues. Ooh. I listen to a lot of debates online about tongues, and You know, when it's all said and done, you can go back to the Bible. Verse 39, do not forbid speaking in tongues. It's there every time. Every single time I flipped over, saw it. Okay, there we go. It's your heavenly prayer language. It's a language that you can communicate with the Father. And guess what? Satan can't make any plans in order to trip you up. He can't put any obstacles out. You are in direct communication between you and the Father, and he understands it. Use that as often as you can. And at the same time, you're building yourselves up in your most holy faith. So when you need encouragement, listen, you won't forget to charge your phones. You won't forget to charge your iPads. You won't forget to charge the things that you need in order to go somewhere or what have you. You're going on a trip. You will charge it up. Charge yourself up. God was the first one to originate that. Charge it up. Charge yourself up. You don't have to be going out, you know, just living on fumes. Man, I'm just barely getting by. No, charge yourself up. Begin praying in the Holy Spirit. That's a weapon. You're praying over people's situations. You're looking for breakthrough? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Spirit. You're looking for breakthrough. Pray in the Holy Spirit. God will give it to you. They ate the food of angels. He released the east wind in the heavens and guided the south winds by his mighty power. He rained down meat as thick as dust, birds as plentiful as the sand on the seashore. My goodness, barbecue chicken. Did God provide for them? Yeah. And he did this every single day. And yet they still grumbled and complained. If you ever catch yourself, if you find yourself, as if you make it a really deep effort, Lord, I'm not going to grumble, complain, and please stop me if I do. You'll start catching yourself. And then you'll start speaking out his word. I'm telling you, your life is going to change. It's going to be different. You're going to get that pep in your step again. You're going to be walking differently with your head high. Because of who you are in Christ, not because of just who you are in the flesh. All that shame, guilt, condemnation, doesn't reside for those who are in Christ. He rained down meat. He caused the birds to fall within their camp. Another miracle. God would have rained down manna and birds, and everybody would freak out because of the birds. Just right here or right there in the parking lot, nowhere else. That's awesome. The people ate their fill. He gave them what they craved. Man, that's dangerous. That's why I say we should want what he wants, because what we want, there may be a disaster at the end of the road. What we may want. But before they're satisfied, they satisfied their craving while the meat was yet in their mouths. The anger of God rose against them, and he killed their strongest men. He struck down the finest of Israel's young men. Wow. Do you see how rebellious mankind can be towards God? God showed them mercy. They still complained. They still sinned. His wrath came against them. Look at the next scripture. The anger of God rose against them, and he killed their strongest men. He says, but in spite of this, the people kept what? Sinning. Despite his wonders, they refused to trust him. They don't get it. They're not getting it. They're not getting it. You talk about a hardened heart. I understand not trusting people, but not trusting God is a whole nother level of crazy. God hardened Pharaoh's heart because Pharaoh didn't want to let the people go. And then plague after plague after plague after plague. Doesn't have to get to that. You got chaos after chaos after chaos after chaos operating in your life. It doesn't have to do that if you just get obedient to God. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that you're going to be problem free, but it's a whole lot better to go through those problems with God than without him. Because he's going to equip you. And there's no problem out there in the world that can whoop your tail. It can't whoop you up. The enemy can't get you unless you allow him to. He can't do nothing for you. People say, well, you can't blame the enemy. I said, listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The enemy cannot get any kind of inroad into your life unless we open up the doors. But once we open up the doors, the enemy is doing things. So you attack the enemy. You come against the enemy, not the person. Then you deal with what they were doing that opened up the door. But it's based upon our choices and our decisions. And if our decisions don't line up with his word, the enemy can have his way in our life. It may not be immediate. It may be way down the line. But see, this is why Satan wants to sift people, to find out if they truly believe and trust in God like they say they do. But I'm telling you, but whatever you're going through, don't you lose faith. Faith was created for the impossible. Don't you start doubting God just because you're going through something. Ever. Don't ever stop doubting God. You have to get your faith over fear. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. Feed it. Feed your faith more and more and more. How are you going to feed your faith? By reading his word? There's a lot of stories in the Bible that'll feed your faith. A lot of stories, a lot of great stories in his word that'll feed your faith. And even if you do, put it on audiobook and let it read it to you while you're going to sleep. My suggestion, try not to use the ones with the backgrounds and stuff, because you could be waking up to some birds and thinking there's this bird in your house and chains everywhere and stuff like that. They got all the sound effects. I woke up one time and I forgot I had my headphones on. And I was like, what is that noise? Oh, man, got this on. But you can feed on the word day and night. You can feed on some of the men that God has placed in this world to preach the gospel, and they can preach the word great. But you feed on the word of God. Feed your faith. Starve your doubts and unbelief. Quit speaking your unbelief. If that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. You speak your faith, God will back it up. His word, he'll back it up coming out of your mouth, but you got to be in faith. And a lot of people, it's taking a lot of flack right now, but his word ain't never changed. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe in the things in which he says, he will have whatsoever he says, or she. That is from the mouth of Jesus. That's not me. That wasn't Brother Hagin. That wasn't anyone else. That was Jesus who spoke that. That was just a revelation that Brother Hagin had lived off of. Your mouth, you're a whosoever. You're a whosoever. You're a whosoever. I'm not going to speak doubt. I see a mountain. I want to attack it. Why? Because I know who I am in Christ. My confidence is in God. My courage, my confidence is in him. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. People lose their confidence. You know, Timothy was dealing with, he was dealing with some narcissistic people in his life. Chapter 3 tells you, stay away from them. Have nothing to do with them. They have a form of godliness, but will deny the very power that saves them. Some ministers, I said, some of your ministers are not healed because you still got people in your life that you won't let go. Because you want to show love to them. But they're an irritant in your life. You know, and the Bible talks about in Revelations that when you tolerate that, you will be cast upon a bed of sickness. That means you will have strange and prolonged illnesses. Don't put up with irritants in your life. People who come to irritate you, they will wear you down. Stop it. You don't have to tolerate that. They want you to tolerate it just so they can do whatever it is they want. But God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That was the whole thing with Timothy. It says, but in spirit of this, the people kept sinning despite his wonders. They refused to trust in him. So he ended their lives in failure, their years in terror. When God began killing them, they finally sought him. They repented and took God seriously. Then they remembered that God was their rock, that God, Most High, was their redeemer. But all they gave him was what? Lip service. They lied to him with their tongues. I'm reminded of when Jesus says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You can honor a lot of people with your lips, but God knows their heart. Sometimes your actions will speak louder than your words. People just want to say what others want to hear, but God knows their heart. It's important of all of God's children to be transparent with him. If there's anybody that you could be 100%, you can keep it 100 with him, that's God. He knows everything you're thinking. He knows everything you want to do. He knows every place you want to go. He knows how you want to travel. He knows these things. If there's any person you can keep it 100 with, it's him. Be transparent with God. Learn to be transparent with your Heavenly Father. You'd be amazed at what he'll say to you if you listen. If you don't just talk. A lot of people just want to talk all the time and just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Amen. That's not a relationship. But we can say, we can talk, or we can just sit there in his presence and listen. Tune our receiver in. Because he's speaking all the time. Just whether or not we hear him. And I love the fact that when people are just hearing from the Lord, and then the Lord says, and then they come and say, you know, the Lord wanted me to just bless you with this today. And you see the tears coming down their face because they were just talking with God. Lord, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to pay this water bill? We don't have any clean water. We can't wash our clothes. We don't have anything. Our washer is broke down. You ever had to lug your stuff to the laundromat? The Lord just told us we just want to bless you with a new washer. What? Why? Because you've tuned in. You're dialed in to what he wants for you. There's always somebody who needs something in your life, but you got to be tuned in. Because we're too busy saying, Lord, can you feed us? Lord, can you do this for us? I'm craving this. But yet, and there's somebody else who needs you to listen to the Lord so that you can do what God has called you to do to bless them. We talk about we want to be his hands and feet. But do we want to listen? Right here. Somebody needs you. Because they need the giftings that's on the inside of you. They need you to go out and do what God has called you to do. The world needs the church to be the church. It isn't just the church needs the church to be the church. The world needs you to be the church. We got to step it up. Step up our confidence in him. Quit allowing doubt and unbelief to stop you from doing what he's called you to do. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They did not keep his covenant. Yet he was merciful and forgave their sins and did not destroy them all. He left a few. Many times he held back his anger and did not unleash his fury. For he remembered that they were merely mortal, gone like a breath of wind that never returns. Can you imagine? Nothing that God has done was good enough for them. They were deserving of everything that had come to him, and at times God withheld his wrath. Verse 40 says, oh, how often they rebelled against him in the wilderness, grieved his heart in that dry wasteland. Again and again, they tested God's patience and provoked the Holy One of Israel. This was going back and forth. That is one of the most arrogant and selfish things that we can do, is provoke the living God. The reason why people complain is not just because they are selfish, it's because it's fear, the fear of the unknown. They fear of not getting what they want. They know God can provide, but they doubt him. And if you have been raised to not take no for an answer, I understand. After reading this passage, I want to know, what are you going to see? If God were to tell you no, how are you going to respond to that? I understand not taking no for an answer when it comes to your career and the things in business, because you want your children, you want your family, you want people to be successful. But when God tells you no, what are you going to do? Are you going to try to get this for, well, God told me no, that I can't have this. So I'm going to just work on Brandon and just work on him and work on him and be that irritant in his life so that he can get me what I want. And God already told me no. You know how selfish that would be? Not only did I limit God, but I provoked him. And I'm over here getting what I want. That's covetousness as well. If God tells you no, I understand, it's for a reason. He's looking out for your best interest. It's for a reason. You may hear the Holy Spirit when you're getting up at night and then you see that piece of pie. And the Holy Spirit said, no, 11 o'clock. I got up one night, went to the bathroom. I was laying downstairs and got up and went to the restroom, and Kristen had made some dessert. And I literally said this, you know, I tell you, everything speaks. That dessert was speaking to me at 11 o'clock at night. And I said, huh? Literally, I said, huh? I said, why? Just a little piece won't hurt. Just a little piece won't hurt you. Next thing you know, I'm frying chicken. No, I'm fine. You can't have dessert without. No, I'm fine. No, I'm not going to tell about that with the steak in the basement. So I'm not going to say that. That was just pretty bad. But God wants you. Should I say it? It was a big back moment. Serious. I wanted some steak. I was craving some steak, and we had these ribeyes that we got from the butcher and stuff. And I seen where somebody was, well, I just get the steak and you know, just put season, you know, salt and pepper and what have you, and they put in the air fryer. But I wonder if that really is really good. So I got the air fryer and brought it down to the basement so Kristen wouldn't hear it. And I got my stuff on the freezer like this, making my steak, and I put it in, and she got up. Did you smell it? She smelt it. It went all the way up into the room. God. I said, don't judge. Don't judge. Oh, it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. No doubt. It got eaten that night. But sometimes God is telling us no. We have to be okay with that at times, because that next season, it could be a yes and then some. But he just wants to see if you're going to be obedient to him. God, I need it now. No, 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 no. If you wait, that'll be half price. That will be, I'm like, literally, they're going to be giving it away. Brand new or whatever the case may be. But you want it now. If you listen to that, it'll be something different in the next season. And it'll be even better. And you will enjoy it even more because, you know, if you were to have to do all those things, you're going to be living with that guilt that you were disobedient to God and stuff. And now you got to play it up. And the next thing you know, you're selling it off 6 months later because you knew you weren't supposed to get it in the first place. But if you wait, you can enjoy it. half price, or whatever the case may be, whatever it is, that trip you were wanting to take around the world, that cruise line or what have you, if you just wait. The Lord may be saying no now, but wait. They got coupons for you. My wife ended up buying a car. She got herself a new car. Volkswagen, German, American made. That's what you need. But she got her own little car. She did it herself. She won. She did everything herself. Like, she's paying for it too. I ain't paying for it. I'm not paying. She's paying for it. I'm not paying for it. But that's what she wanted. This is what she wanted and how she wanted it and what have you. And you know what? When it was all said and done, I guess the timing was right, because they did a drawing and we didn't know that was going on. She ended up winning a television. I was like, okay, nice. So now I'm just checking all the little spots where people are having stuff. Babe, I think we need a new toaster. That's funny. I said, what did I said this. I said, shoot, you want a TV? Let it ride. Let's go to Vegas. Let's go. That's funny. No, we don't do that. You stay obedient to God and not tempt him. We can't be tempters of the Lord. You know, there's only one place where God said to test him. Anybody know? What did he tell him to test him in? And what? Tithes and offerings, right? In Malachi. See, he got upset. His anger grew right here in Psalms and in Exodus, because they were testing him. They were tempting him that he couldn't provide. But yet God in Malachi is saying, test me in this when it comes to your giving. Test me in this and see if I will not pour out the windows of heaven. He's going to open up the windows of heaven. He opened up the doors of heaven and gave a manna. Can you imagine if God were to ever open up the windows of heaven and just, you know what? I'm going to open up the door. I'm going to open up the street. And we're just going to give you a little chunk of this transparent gold right here. That'll solve all the world's problems, if you're talking financially. But the world's problems is solved by the blood of Jesus. And Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation for any other, for there is no other name under heaven given by men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the way. What's the last scripture there? Philippians. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Pray about everything. God didn't say try to figure out a way to come up with it. He said pray about it. He didn't say do this in your own power. Pray about it. Believe. That's what we're called to do. That's the easy part. Then it's just dealing with all the thoughts that's coming in your mind that you're gonna have to fight off. And then keep your mouth from saying it. But believe. Faith over fear. Feed your faith and do what with your doubts? Starve them. From here to here. You can do that within a day. If you just be conscious about what you're saying and what's coming out of your mouth. From here to here, you'll start seeing a change in your life when you put your heart with your confession. Confess it with your mouth and believe it where? In your heart. And the only place that we're not allowed to doubt is right here. You're going to have doubts come in your mind. But you don't have to act on it. You don't have to speak on it. Don't you back off. He's stubborn as a bull, but don't you back off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord. that we can live our life by faith in you, Lord. I thank you. And if there's anyone here that is dealing with some doubt and unbelief, and you need prayer, come on up and we will pray with you. I'll have some people come up and pray with you. If you are just dealing with some stuff, we will help pray over that situation in the name of Jesus. Everybody's good? All right. Lord, I thank you for the hearts and minds here. I thank you, Lord, that you are continually touching their lives, Lord. I pray that they hear your voice, that they are just so in tune to what you have to say to them, and that they go out into this community, wherever you send them, Lord, in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that they are able to be bold for you and for your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for watching over and protecting them and keeping them all safe from danger. And if there's anyone sick on this television, we speak healing right now into your body. Just receive it right now. We command every sickness, every disease to be healed. Jesus is still a healer. He hasn't stopped being a healer. He will always be a healer. Just receive it. Lord, we give you thank you. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.